I'll try not to make this cookie.
I know there's no solution to that.
There's too much into the recording. This night, we'll just be recording this discussion with us, and then the school can have a copy of it. We will have a copy of it. We're not going to make it any more formal than that. So people can remember what they said. So, want to welcome you all. What's this, our third meeting? And we found them pretty beneficial. And I think as we get closer to going into a new school, that they will be more important. And we have numerous things happening here that we want to talk to you about, and you probably want to talk to us about. So I wanted to, first of all, have everybody introduce themselves, because if we're going to record it, we need to know who was here. And so why don't we start with
Richard. Richard Cardoza, Kansas City Council.
Jenny Baker, trustee. Ruby Anderson, school board trustee.
Kevin Gifford, trustee.
Lane Saxton, projects manager, CUNA School District.
Devin DeLashma, CUNA School District technology coordinator and assistant superintendent.
Joe Steer, city council.
Jim Ford, trustee.
Carla Reynolds, high school principal.
Amy Johnson, new superintendent.
Carl Erickson, trustee.
Carlin Laraway, information systems and assessment coordinator. Melanie DeLashma, HR manager.
Elizabeth Fisher, transportation supervisor.
Richard Rowe, city attorney. And I'm Greg Nelson. Please, somebody doesn't know me. We wanted to start out and tell you a little bit about economic development. And, you know, one of our things that affect both the school and the city is the fact that we really never push economic development in this town for some reason. And so we have a joint committee between the Chamber of Commerce and the city. We have a grant. We're printing the brochures that we'll be using for attracting business, or actually we'll be using them for a lot of other things too. So we have a meeting once a month, right after the chamber meeting. And it used to be, it was so unhandy that a lot of people, it was on a Friday and everybody wanted to go home and didn't want to. And so then we got it twice a month, and there was really nothing to do because the economic development really never did anything. So now we're attracting, and Ridley's is a part of that. We have McDonald's, of course, coming, and we have a big 50,000 warehouse coming for trucking. I won't say the name because they haven't given us authority. You know, everybody gets a little sensitive, especially if the mayor starts mentioning their name before they tell me it's okay. And then we have a manufacturer of rifles coming, where we have a big subdivision coming out, business and building on the curb. And we're meeting with the transportation department because we understood that the curb they did not like. And they wanted to make it a stop sign. They didn't want a stop light because they wanted you to be able to turn right from this curb without stopping. And they actually even looked at a roundabout and decided that they'd like a stop with a right-hand turn into town. And there's a number of businesses and what have you that we'll be working on to bring there. And quite a few homes via one of the bigger subdivisions going into CUNA. So anyway, we are working. We're still working on Bi-Mart. They indicate they'd like to come. And it's just a matter of picking where they're going to locate. And another one is Maverick, which is, they'd like to come. And we've had kind of the community, as they paid their water bills and came into City Hall, we had them put down, you know, what they'd like to see in Cuba. And it's everything. The only thing that we didn't get was the state capitol, you know, everything else. Anyway, we hope it works as well as we think it can. Are there any questions on economic? Yes.
Yeah, just one question I had. Is there any benefit in having a representative of the school district on the council on the economic development committee?
Well, I think the more the merrier. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we used to have quite a presence at the school on planning and zoning and these types of committees. We're going to put together a committee for bike paths, and we've got to start putting together our own way that we want to move around with bikes in Cuba, that would be bring safety to school, let the kids traverse the place on. And we don't have a continuity one. I was really surprised that we can't find one, if we ever did one. But we need it, and as new roads are improved and what have you, then through all bike lanes. And we'll talk to Ridley's about putting a number of bike parking spots out there, so anybody who wants a shop out there is going to have to take their bike out. The other thing the drugs thing we wanted to talk about. You know, I had another talk with, well, I won't say his name, but he was in the, he works for a senator. He told me that his son is a friend of a boy in Melbourne that can't wait to get up here to our skateboard park so he can get drugs. And so, you know, it's, we have found out, the council and I, that the skateboard park was really a problem. And so we had to ask our new police chief to start policing that one pretty heavy. Well, the first four kids picked up for dealing were all under 14. And I understand there was a 12-year-old picked up the other day. And you know, that I don't know what's happening to us, but rest assured that we're going to force it out of town, and I realize it'll still be around, but we're going to make it so that it's not as handy. And we're going to we'll ask the council to start the process by stopping the smoking at the skateboard park. We'll make it the non-smoking area. And then I'm going to ask the council also to stop smoking in our parks where there's children's playthings. If somebody can't refrain from smoking while they're, you know, pushing bicycles or whatever they're going to do up there, we're worse off than I think. It's a step-by-step process, so you can't do it too fast, otherwise the community gets all fussed up. So we thought by stopping smoking at the skateboard park, that would kind of, the police would like us just to close it. They think there's enough stuff, you know, that goes on that maybe we should. But we don't have really hardly anything for the kids to do. So, anyway, we'll keep it open, but police are the one who can put it down. And stop smoking.
Are there any areas near our schools that the police have patrolled regularly, or this kind of activity also takes place?
Well, they say that in the schools, that kids are coming in stoned. It seems like marijuana is our big thing here, although the younger kids are bringing prescription drugs now, and it's starting to be a problem. So I think part of the reason that the schools are having trouble is because there's so easy dealings now. You know, and so we've got to make it harder for them to deal. And let's face it, you know, there's a lot of these kids aren't from really high-income families, and it's so easy to make a few bucks like peddling. And so we're all in this one together. I have no vague idea how we're going to stop it. We have a group that included our school people and the police and the CUNA group that has been handling the drug education issue, and there was about 25 to 30 people there. Council was there. So out of that, we're going to try to put together some ideas, and you know, that leads right into the mental health. One of the things that first told me that there was really a much bigger problem than I thought was Tim Gordon, you know, and his grandson that tried to end his life. And then during 30 days, in that 30-day period, there's two other boys that tried. And it makes you think about, well, what do we do with those kids? Where do we take them? And where, you know, in CUNA, there isn't any place. And so what we've decided is St. Al's, and I've approached him about a mental health deal for CUNA. I'm not so sure what I need, but I know I need something that the police can refer kids to, or that we can, you know, if it's a mental problem, well, we kind of got to address that. So then I talked to the state health people, and they're all coming out. I'll meet with the St. Al's group that heads that up. I wish I had had the meeting before this one, but unfortunately it's next week. So, but we'll keep you informed.
Would it be beneficial to have somebody from our schools to sit in with you during that?
I think after I've met with them, I'll really enlarge it.
Okay.
My first thing is to see what they can offer, or what we have to offer as a city did.
Sure.
To do that, or and the next question would be, well, what will the school offer?
Sure.
Okay.
So we certainly keep data on all of that. Obviously, it's the stuff that we catch that we're going on, but we can certainly provide a general view if that would be helpful. A need, if nothing else. And
right.
Yeah,
okay. Well, anyway, that's really a part, and it might be a little more critical part than Albert ever thought it was, because we're having, when you get to these young kids, there's some of them that have really got problems. So, anyway, we're as you know, a blue-collar community, and that means both parents are working. And the kids have an awful lot of time to dream up things that you probably wouldn't like them doing. So that's kind of the way we're heading. And everybody's willing to help us, but nobody's put a price tag on it yet. It all comes with a price.
Yeah, Mayor, jumping back just to the drug part. We are in the process of reviewing and approving a new policy in the school district on drug and alcohol use. And you know, obviously there are two different things to look at. We're really dealing with the use in our school. It's a little bit tougher to get the dealing. I don't know how much of the dealing is happening in school. It seems like there's probably a pretty fertile ground there for it, but I don't know how much success we've had in actually catching and stopping the dealing. But it's a little bit easier to detect those that are using when they come stoned to school. And so I think our policy will be a little bit, will be stronger than it has been. Very definite penalties for being caught that way. But of course, I've heard this argument a long time. You know, what's more important, stopping the using or stopping the dealing? And you really have to hit both sides of it. So,
for sure.
So I like that you're going down that road of stopping the dealing.
Yeah.
We'll just have to work together with you to just make sure we get it from both sides.
Well, you know, I'm real pleased with our new chief police, or police chief. He seems to really understand, or he was a school counselor, I think. Or
he was an SRO, resource officer.
So he really knows a lot more about it than some of us do, for sure.
I mean,
me especially. And so he's very willing to put in the time. He's got some good ideas. And, you know, it's obvious that what we've done up to now hasn't done a real good job because it's getting worse. You know? And so I'm not hearing of the Association of Idaho Cities and other Fraser Valley Partnership and a lot of fussing by other mayors and all about their towns and the drug thing. So I'm not so sure that they aren't, they haven't maybe run out of their towns far enough that they don't have to worry too much about it. Or at least it's not at the top of their mind. So. Yeah, everybody's got the problem. It's, but it sure seems to be acute, and still points back to that if the kids are staying, you know, their families and all are working and they're home alone and they pack up with others that like that and try to find something to do, where do they go? You know, well, skateboard park, what's available there? You know? So it does point out, we'll be coming up with some ideas that will maybe make for more things to do in this town.
Mayor, I know a while back we talked about, lighting up the skateboard park. Do you think that would help? Or?
Well, you know, the kid that was putting the young man was putting kind of a lot of emailing to me about putting lights on there. We emailed him back and said, you know, yeah, come on in and talk about it. We want you to help us with cleaning the trash up because nobody can pick up trash out there, you know. And we want your help in the drug dealing. And we might consider lighting it. We might even consider if things were really good. You know, that only half of that skateboard park was done. Mm-hmm. There's another half. And so it's expensive, you know that. And so he did email again, and I told him my schedule and how I'd like him to come in, but he never emailed.
Okay.
So that was the only idea about putting lights on it. He wanted to extend the length up until about 10 o'clock at night. And I don't know if the extent of it, I'd need your thoughts on it. Would that just make it worse? Or would it actually help? I don't know. Because it's one of the premium skateboard parks in the Northwest. And you know, if we could ever get the drug thing straightened out and all, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't have a competition on that for, you know, get and prizes and the whole bit so that all of a sudden it's something more than how do you get that onion in my pocket?
I can smell it.
So anyway, it is a premium skateboard park, and we should do something besides deal drugs with it. Yeah, so.
Well, and along that same lines, the district has three big portable bleachers that, you know, we brought down to the parade and we brought down for different events.
Yeah.
It would be no problem if they had an event to supply bleachers for stuff like that.
Neat. Yeah.
But several times I've been by there, and at night there's a lot of kids that are still hanging out, so.
Yeah, the police are making much more sachets vital, and so I do hope that we're getting a little bit of handle on that.
Wendy, it seems like the atmosphere in CUNA is right for the partnership between the Boys and Girls Club and, you know, WISE and things like that, and so that's, you know, a large percentage of our kids would have other programs and things to do, you know, before and after school, possibly. Without any specifics, are they at the table? Where are they? You know, I know they have a presence here, thanks to us, in the summer, but, you know, is there a way we can move that forward, or they could be part of this, and some of this could be used to help get them into the area? I don't know what it takes to get those programs into an area and get a foothold, and I'm sure it all takes money.
Well, they need to have a place they can do it is the big problem. That's why they can do it here in the summer. We move out of the building and they move in.
Yeah.
But during the school year, that's really not possible.
Well, and Carl and Jim, some of the, we have drawings rendering a swimming pool at Teague, and we're right where the boxcar sets, and at one point, we talked about utilizing locker rooms to join a pool there and stuff, and it was always talked about, but nobody ever pressed forward with it. So that, there's drawings out there. It's close enough to the high school that they could have an aquatics program, and it also could tie in. Now we've expanded the parking, so all that stuff should be reiterated again, things like that with the Y.
Well, what we have to do is, do some kind of study, see the economic feasibility. I mean, that's the kind of thing that should pay for itself, maybe, over time, and it's certainly a benefit to the city, and maybe we get city participation with us, figure out what it would cost, how much we could expect on an annual basis coming in. That might be a doable thing.
Well, on that line, this was an item I had at that last, but one of the things that's wrong with the town is that we don't have anything like a swimming pool or summer activity things, all of that. And I listened to David Peters talk over at Boise about, the community ought to be willing to put in $20, on taxes to raise $50 million. And so we've been talking amongst the staff here. Let's look at bonding a swimming pool, because there's no other way we're going to ever afford a swimming pool. We've tried funds every time. I remember one time we got to $10,000 and they took most of it and bought school band uniforms. So we've always had that if we've got a little money here, somebody needs it, we never get up to a swimming pool. So then I called the YMCA, and we had it worked out between them and the developer, almost worked out. Put a swimming pool and the YMCA together. And then Caldwell managed to get that done in their community first. So I asked Jim Everett if he'd be willing to come over and maybe partner with the Boys and Girls Club, mm-hmm. the swimming pool, and the YMCA in a compound. And he said, we have a lot of use by the Boys and Girls Clubs, and where they are at the YMCA. And so what we'll do is I'm approaching the Boys and Girls Club, and they're a little hard to find in the summer, except for the people that are working up there at Ross. But we need to talk a little bit to them about what would be the benefit of maybe one building with a swimming pool and a Boys and Girls Club on one side and the other on the other. And that might have some advantages. Do we have enough land up there? Even if we converted Ross, or not, but Butler, into the complex, there still wouldn't be enough land. When you take the parking, all that's needed. So if we were to do that, if we could talk the council into studying that and agreeing to go on a bond issue, we'd probably have to get a little more land by the gentleman that donated the land to the Boys and Girls Club. And my understanding, the reason the Boys and Girls Club are not out knocking on your door for donations is they ran into a problem with the son of the man that donated. The son didn't like some of the national stand for Boys and Girls Club in issues that shouldn't make a bit of difference. So I think they've got that worked out. So they will be starting to do some. Well, Grant may know. Are you pretty active in that Boys and Girls?
Not active enough to know.
Okay.
where is the land?
Pardon?
Where is the land?
It's just out by Butler Park. It's just the next parcel across, in that land that comes behind the fire station.
Kind of beyond the park and the water tower there.
Okay. It's supposed to be within, I think, a mile of six or seven schools.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be pretty for for anything that we want to put up there to attract the school?
It's basically where the fire department is. If you go north, that street will come into it, that big empty field.
Has anybody spoken to the gentleman who owns Freedom Fitness? When the last pool/city hall bond was floated, he mentioned that he had plans to build a pool in the next maybe 5 years, and I don't know where that stands now, but...
That's a good point.
He was very interested in doing it, yeah.
Yeah.
You mean a public pool?
Well, I mean, I presume it would be for members, but I think he was also, I mean, especially depending on if somebody partners with him, I would assume that there might be some separate, I just want to pay a membership fee to use the pool, which, you know, as a city pool, we were thinking about, I think, doing anyway, or at least that's how it was pitched the last time. So, yeah, if he gets assistance with building it, I would imagine he'd be open to figuring something out.
Or even, excuse me, but even with like your local junior colleges in the area that could use it as like a class, you know, that they would offer for like a PE class from there. Do we have something? I'm new to the area, so do we have something, you know, in the Meridian area like CWI or something like that?
Well, yeah, it's
in
Meridian.
Is there enough support for the bond by itself, the swimming pool?
Well, we've never tried it before, but we're going to soften this community up by saying, you know, first of all, you're over 16,000 now. And we're still thinking like we did when we were 1,000 and afraid to do anything because we just didn't want to affect the taxes. And say, we'll have it out to an actual dollar and cents. Is the kids worth, and let's say, you know, $20 would put a million, maybe 1.2 million into a swimming pool. Never been able to do that before, you know, and yet. And so, you know, we still think like we did 25 years ago. And it's time that everybody says that's what they want. The seniors take polls, that's what they want. And they, you know, and so you finally decide, we've always said, can't afford it. Well, if we made these partnerships, and YMCA would run it, and so therefore, you know, the swimming pool comes with constant, you know, you have to have lifeguards and all of that stuff. Well, if the YMCA were running it, then that gets lessened down to where it's pretty affordable. And the and we could do it without putting it into the general slice of things that, you know, that scare us so much by it. Oh gosh, we can't exceed the 3%, you know. So it finally is going to ask the question of our people, do you want to quit talking about it and do it? And put these kids, get them busy, get them out of the drugs and into lots of things can come with the YMCA, lots of things come with Boys and Girls Club. We have some other ideas for summer programs. And so I guess you guys could ask the question as well as I could.
I think, I was just going to say, the last time there was the pool bond, I was pretty vocally opposed to it. But the folks that I talked to, the reason there was so much opposition was it wasn't separated out from the city hall thing, and people wanted to vote for one or the other and not both. And they felt like it was a sneaky way to get city hall approved. It didn't seem well planned out. If you crunched the numbers as they were given, the building dimensions weren't going to hold the pool and everything else that was supposed to go in the building. So there was, it didn't seem like the numbers we were being given for how much it would cost would actually pan out. There was talk about using it for like swimming practice and school sports teams and stuff. But then at the same time, kids were supposed to be able to go and swim there after school if they weren't involved with sports teams. And given the dimensions of the pool, you couldn't do both at once. And so there was just, I think, as long as a lot of the planning is really well thought out and explained, and we, I mean, they, part of the pitch too was, well, there will be a fee to use it. but we have absolutely no concept of how much that is. It could be $150 per person. We really don't know. And so it was just too many question marks. So I think, as you know, the more thoroughly that's thought out and a complete picture is presented, I think people would be more likely to jump on board with it.
And if it was located in a decent spot, you know, and if it's really to serve the whole community, but especially the kids, planning it up there where we looked, or even over where you folks looked, you know, there's no reason why over there we couldn't attach a YMCA over there, to, you know. But I'm of the opinion that with the right kind of grant and what have you, the YMCA is pretty good at getting them. Why don't we try to put a complex together? And it would involve all of us. So, and the sale of it will be a challenge, but I really think that, you know, maybe it's not as big a challenge as we make it, because we do have a lot of people down there. All of them have got kids. We're really good at raising kids or producing kids. I don't know how good we're doing.
Well, you're right, Mayor. I mean, look at Tom Nicholson, who's been a big part of CUNA, both him and Carl, and what he's got up the street. He's the one that owns Wahoots and the water park there, and probably nobody's ever approached him about doing one in his, kind of his hometown.
Yeah.
And if we, like you said, work together and provide land and parking, and maybe somebody will step up the pump.
Yeah. Well, at least we're not his enemy now.
Right.
Seems like we were for the last 8 years, so, you know, yeah, we've calmed that down. New businesses on this agenda we already mentioned. Housing permits. I think the last 30 days we've put out another 14. And we have 20. We put up 20, and we have
last,
like
how long? Did you said 3 days.
Last 30 days.
30.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Does everyone know Wendy and Gordon? And we have some additional staff, yeah. And the chief just showed up. Does everyone know one another? Mel Ricketts is our grounds supervisor. Gordon Law, city engineer. Bobby Withrow. And Wendy is P&Z. Does everyone know everyone?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
And Laura Seabach is our principal
Laura.
Of our alternative school.
And Justin?
Justin Uso, from the chief of police. Sorry, I'm a little late.
Well, maybe before we leave the topic of the Boys and Girls Club, but one of the things that I had mentioned to you, Wendy, a little while ago was, you know, maybe a shift in thinking from the Boys and Girls Club. And, you know, the schools that are built here are built through community funds and they're community buildings. And yes, we do need time to maintain those and service them and keep them operational for school. But I really wondered about a partnership between the Boys and Girls Club, the Y, whoever. And instead of building buildings first, that the buildings we have be used to service some of those high need students that we have, maybe the most at-risk students, some of the students that we're talking about here today, and maybe they might be able to extend, you know, early morning programs or, you know, late after-school programs and start servicing the community that way, and that it be an all-year type of thing. And I just don't know. It seems to me like we're kind of touching on the edges and, you know, we don't know what the vision is, but it seems like there's a real need for that. And, you know, if you're extending that day for those kids to provide parents an opportunity to go to work and then come home, you might start hitting on some, all of these topics, and you might get Boys and Girls Club to come here before they have to do all the fundraising to build a building. And you know, that would be the foot in the door to get some of these other projects kicked off. And I don't, you know, I'm kind of brainstorming here and I've just seen other things.
I've already approached them. And offered the world, and they want
ready.
Their own building.
That was my
and that's the bottom line. Yeah. They're not about to, and that's just where they want to go. They want their own building, and they don't want us to share. So
is that just here in this community, or is it, because I imagine in other areas they have, I know they do some things
sure,
like this, but I don't know. So
well, that, I would say that's not true, because in Meridian, they use the former Meridian District Office is where they started the Boys and Girls Club there. Actually, I think they're still housed there.
We wrote two grants this year, the federal grants, 21st Century Learning, what they're called. And we wrote one for a Boys and Girls program, a Boys and Girls type of program after school, to be housed at Ross, because that's a really high needs area, and we'll get some of the data, poverty data, and that sort of thing for our students. And supervised children and that sort of thing. And then we wrote another grant for an after school program at a middle school, and dealing with some of the drug issues that you referenced with that age group, keeping them connected and learning, and doing some fun things that are supervised. We received the grant for the middle school after school program. We struggled partnering with the Boys and Girls Club at that site. There would be maybe some presence there, but we wanted to really work on, you know, focus on younger children, even though they typically do work with secondary age children as well. But we didn't receive the one at Ross. However, we wrote it for a Boys and Girls program, trying to get that foot in the door. Hey, you know, a new building is great. I'm with them. It's wonderful to have that, but something's better than nothing. You know, that kind of same view. What could we do? What's possible in the school? So we have a grant written. We're looking for the next opportunity for doing, you know, using that, tweaking that somewhat. So maybe there's still an opportunity to deal with, you know, some of the issues that we're seeing with drug use, with kids not being active, with, you know, all of those things. And maybe to get that foot in the door for them to see what's possible. Because it does, I mean, we do need to do updates and keep things clean and do that sort of thing. But there's, it sits empty, you know, for a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So we want it to be utilized.
Okay.
But well, another day maybe for that, but we have given up.
And the high school is a great example of it still gets cleaned, but there isn't a day in the week that it's not used.
Right.
From, you know, 6:30 in the morning until 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I think, you know, partnering with Teed and what we have there that's not utilized right now, the locker rooms and stuff like that, that it would be inviting if we all work together and have a facility that can be used and add a pool to it. So there are those types of things there.
You know, as a director of the Ada County Farm Bureau, we put money into Boys and Girls. And if they're not willing to look at partners, what have you, I think that we could probably affect that in a way.
And I think it's not.
But not so subtle.
Yeah, but money definitely does. But I never felt the sense that they were anti, you know, it was more, we have a vision for a new building, that's
sure.
What the community wants, and we want to support that vision, and we don't want to detract from that vision. But, you know, we all, I always call CUNA kind of our duct tape. You know, we figure out how to get it done, and we sometimes have to use a couple rolls of duct tape to get it to work, and then it becomes something bigger, you know, and so that's kind of what we're going to
do. Well, who do you have writing your grants?
Oh, a variety of different people, but it was Arnett Johnson who primarily had that. And then Kevin Shreve, who's a community member, helped us actually put the pieces and parts together. So we actually came in to put the pieces and parts together because there were all these different interest groups and, you know, that were saying we could, and so we needed one central person to.
We were checking, you know, I'm a grant person myself, you know, we were applying for badges, it's time consuming and what have you. We've encountered now a program that keeps on, well, nicely on file for you, 1,400 federal grants and 14,000 foundation grants. They have it to where it would be a beautiful time saver, and whatever you wanted in your grant, you can go and take a look and if in fact you go for $500,000 or a big one and you get turned down and aren't quite sure why, for $2,500 they'll write it and you'll get it. Or, you know, if you don't get it, you never...
Have a money back guarantee.
So anyway, we listened to it, and, you know, I was really skeptical of the half hour that it needed, but Moscow, Idaho, is doing it. They have this program, so we're going to check them out to see what they think. And we can get a bare bones basic that gives you all of that availability without some of the reporting back to you at all for $4,000. And I'm thinking, you know, it doesn't take a very big grant if you know what you're doing, you know, to get that.
Is that a $4,000 annual fee?
It's for a year, yeah. And I think if you want the full deal that they offer, you know, it's
$6,500.
Yeah.
And what I was kind of thinking is that the fire district is writing grants, the school is writing grants, the city's writing grants,
the all public,
and that maybe, yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure that they probably do their charging on how many people are available into the deal. That's probably the way they make their money. But I was thinking that after we get into the Explored and all, then we'll bring that up again and talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, that'd be a really good thing to partner on.
Yeah.
Because usually, depending on what type of grant it is, there's some sort of support that's needed from the city or your local library or your whatever police, you know, that are somehow, you know, involved.
So many, it takes so much time to find them, you know, unless, you know, they tend to repeat every year. So those that you're familiar with, you know, you kind of tend to look like you guys with maybe the Albertson Foundation or some of those. You're constantly looking at those. But, you know, there's a Jillion 26 out elsewhere that might be available. And, you know, you just don't have time to do all of that. Whereas at all, you want, let's say you put down recreation, you know, and there's 8,000 grants, and then you say, well, what kind of recreation? It gets down to 50 or 75, and with that, you can research that out. So, anyway, we thought it needed exploring, and we had in mind that it could probably work out a deal where the school of this, at least, and then maybe the fire district. Fire district writes grants, but not a lot. Mm-hmm. So, and they're usually pretty specific on equipment. So anyway, expect to hear some more from us on that. The water year irrigation outlook, it looks like right now we'll be shutting pressurized irrigation off the last week of August. And if we get a good rainy state and what have you, we'll shut it off for a few days, try to get us into September. You think that if we can get everybody into September, maybe they will lose their fields. It's funny, I don't know how the school district is, but those on pressurized irrigation in the city seem to have forgotten there is such thing as a hose and a bib that they could use city water. And they're going to set it out there and watch the trees die. You know, see. Yeah,
well, after seeing our bill at Teed, we
Okay, and then, you know, the railroad trespass grant, we haven't run it by anybody but Lane, but there's a trespass grant up to $5,000. And, the railroad's on the school and the city all the time about trespassing. And so Lane had the idea of changing that 3 acres down by Indian Creek into a community garden I think he needed a greenhouse too. So we thought, well, why don't we put in for that trespass grant for the maximum, which would be $5,000. We could print up the stuff they wanted, you know, that warns about trespassing, and you send it to the families and what have you. And we could take care of the trespass, but they have as one of the provisions for that grant, if you're stopping the trespass by use, like, say, a community garden. They listed that, so we thought, gee whiz, man, maybe we could put enough money into that from the railroad that we'd get a new greenhouse or what have you. Our community garden over here is doing really well. People are just excited. A lot of people don't have anything in there like it, you know. It just kind of fits the mold of people's thought.
So the group knows what we're talking about. The railroad approached us several years ago about putting a fence up and the amount of near misses that they were having on the railroad tracks. There was between 3 and 6 a month. They wanted the school district to pay for half the fence, and we simply told them we couldn't do that. They did decide to come in and fence that 3 acres that's being described, and they put a temporary crossing in for us to come in to that site for the workers to come in and the equipment that we needed. School district went in and paid. I hired a contractor to level all that out, that 3 acres, and it's right on the bend of the creek. Since they've fenced 10 mile so that it slowed traffic down, and they've fenced that property. We didn't sign any agreements with them, but we told them that we would continue keeping that area clean. So it is flat, but it's got a lot of weeds in it. But the mayor and I talking, it wouldn't be hard at all to extend water down there. We've talked about a horticulture class and different things at that particular 3 acres, because it's nowhere man's land and it's not being used. The only issue is the Boise Border Control owns the little footbridge that goes across there, and they're not willing to do anything. We've tried to do that. They say that we're, as a district or property owners, are responsible to the center of Indian Creek. That's why they haven't helped us with any of the tree pruning or any of that stuff. So that's the area that we're talking about. Wouldn't be hard to get water there and to start a community garden. Access is the biggest issue. When Indian Creek is empty, we can get equipment across and do things. So it could be started. The other thing while we're on that is when I constructed the parking lot at Porter Street, all the dirt that we X'd out, even today, we're leveling out portions of Indian Creek to put in softball material to finish off the playground. Any excess dirt we've hauled in behind Indian Creek, and now it is, we've hauled load after load in there just to dispose of the dirt. It was cheaper for our contractor, so he helped us out with it. Now we have, from that bridge all the way that connects behind Indian Creek, between the creek and our actual property, that connects to the green belt. So it is level in there now, and we just took the remaining stuff out of Indian Creek and spread in there, and we're gonna run the road grader down it and grade it again tomorrow. That area is prepped for a green belt. You could go in right now and pave it. So that is something too that needs to be approached to not only connect the current green belt, but now can be extended to come out to that pathway. It's not very good plus for crossing the bridge, because then you get violators with the trespassing, because each end now is, they've dug out and moved the weeds so that they can still get under the fence. Operation Life Safety and I have talked back and forth, and we want to get a program together with them to help with that. So that's where the piece of property is and what's available there.
Well, there's probably some things we'll have to work out, but we'll take a look to make sure that what we're going to do might qualify for that grant. And you know, many years ago, when they barricaded that bridge,
yep,
we took over the liability on that, we being the city, and I think we still keep it with our stuff. And so the Board of Control was very insistent they were not going to put liability. And you know, adding something like that to ours, you know, with all the parks and the playground equipment and all, it's hardly noticeable. Okay, Another thing I wanted to do, at least briefly discuss, we've had at least one letter to the editor says, why don't you get on with buying a building for your city hall and quit paying rent? Which kind of beats my philosophy of that. We've looked at this building and we have it up to the at least an offer type of thing. And the council really wanted to look at three buildings. And one of them that we needed to work with the school district on is the old gymnasium complex there. And so I think one of these days, and the council is going to say, where are those, what we were 3 months ago? So I really need to get on working with someone about, can we still work that out? If not, then we ought to give it up and maybe concentrate on this building. But, you know, to me, if the city, in fact, worked out a deal on that, then we'd start talking to you about your IT man, about maybe some kind of a joint city school that might save us more money and what have you. I think we wouldn't want to ask him to come up the way we are now, but if we were to join with you in your complex there, I think that we could work out a pretty good arrangement. We're trying to work it out on mowing. We're going to try to work it on, we have some ideas on ball fields that our attorney is working on right now. And so we're trying to be cognizant of the fact if you tax them and we tax them, it's both the same people, you know, and if we could work it out where we could save them a buck or two, it might be good.
I'd say Lane is definitely your contact person for that.
Yeah, Lane's
our contact. He will keep us connected too. We want to have a more serious conversation someday when that might be to get together.
But of course, in some ways it's easy because as a school district we have to sell it for fair market value, and as a city you can't pay more than fair market value. So it's just figuring out what the fair market value is and if that's agreeable. Of course, there may be some issues of sharing and what have you.
Yeah.
But it's you know, it's one of those things that it's hard to negotiate real hard when we're both bound by same measure.
Well, the school district also can carry a 10-year note.
Yes.
It's financed for 10 years. So basically, if you go out to buy a piece of property, unless you just have a lot of money in the bank, you're going to have to build for the voters. You can still tell the voters what you're doing, make it very public, but you could probably buy something like that for what you're kind of throwing into to rent. So. Well, I don't know for sure, but I'm just saying
it's a little more complicated than that.
Well, yeah, we'd have to go to a bond issue if we didn't just give you cash, and you know, I don't know that where I would pull that much cash out of my pocket. But it seems like the people I've talked to in the town feel that would be the best use of that area down there to make it a city school complex, the library, and what have you. And it would fit real well with the downtown in that we would open up all the parking at the school for walking downtown and maybe have specialty shops and a few things down there.
We've talked about, of course, the district had it appraised. Brian and I talked, and then Chairman Ford.
Brian's our business manager.
And state statute does, as Jim mentioned, allow us to carry the note for 10 years, and then it has to be reappraised if the note isn't paid off. But the appraisal is done, and where we decided, and I kept a list of everyone that's inquired on the gym, the old gym. It's 2 minus acres. The mayor's had several people come and look at it. City council and some folks have come by. Everyone that I got permission to say that we are looking to start to sell at $700,000. We had the appraisal done over a year ago now, so I'm sure that would be changed, but that's kind of where we are with that particular area.
Okay. Well, we're going to continue to try to put some edges around that, what have you. We have a couple other ideas that we'll be working on that might affect that. So, anyway, and I think the board hasn't made up their mind yet on Indian Creek School, if they're going to sell it or refurbish it.
We're keeping it. Yes, in all the
trees. You are keeping it? Okay.
Yeah, we just put a bunch of money into it.
Okay.
Yep. We're just finishing
up. Well, I hear that you've got something going on up there because I can hear it in my house.
Yeah.
Yeah, prime time for fixing stuff.
I got permission from the board, and they give me $100,000 to... We had the facility inspected, and it's a good facility, and the board asked me to... What we would need to fix the roof and the playground and some ADA issues and some drainage and put all new doors on it, so it's ready to go for anywhere from another 6 to 10 years. What I'm doing right now is we've leveled off that hill to get the drainage away from the building. Had two pieces of equipment up top that had no softfall material that we've been rode up every year from the state, so we're taking care of that So that's why I've added more dirt to the green belt, because we took all that old pea gravel out and we've now spread it almost to meet the current green belt. And that will be paved and a new rain gutter and a couple other things to finish that off is what we're doing there.
Okay. So you're going to keep it as a grade school?
Is there a next step you had in mind on the old gym? Are you waiting for the district to take some action, or are you still looking at your options and we're going to be waiting to hear from you?
No, all we're going to do is put together whatever you folks have decided that that's what it's worth, and we'll put them together whether we can make an offer or not. And it's just a matter of, you know, we're what we're paying now versus if we were buying one, what would we be paying? And it just so happens that most of us are in the mood that we ought to be buying something, then even if we had to go in the interim step and sell that off to get to where we're going, at least it wouldn't all be lost. So that's about where we are. As far as our parks, we're trying to get our planning and zoning to put a little more heat on these ends and pieces that are supposed to be recreational for the subdivision. Don't work very well. So why don't we let them use their ends and pieces, and they can donate to a larger park. And we're trying to get larger parks. And believe it or not, our one up at Arbor Ridge, that park, Soccer Association condemned it. It's got too many bowls. So anyway, we were going to try to refurbish it, but we don't have enough water to refurbish it today. So Bobby's going to work on us this fall.
And a little wheelbarrow. Go around the bowls.
Yes,
you should. Might be
a dog. I mean, well, they're in desperate need of soccer fields with many bowls. So we've probably put a lot of effort into killing the bowls this year. Then we'll try to refurbish it going into the winter, and maybe next year will be enough water that we can water it. So, but believe it or not, we're becoming a really soccer-oriented town. You know, it's unbelievable. So, anyway. Well, that's kind of what we want to discuss. Deanna, did you have anything that you'd like to bring up?
I think so.
Okay. Did you?
I don't know.
Did anybody of the school
have a... No, I think we've hit all of our issues.
Okay.
Just need to talk about it. It's been every 3 months, is that what we're
doing? Yeah,
3 months. Yeah. Does that work okay for everybody? Is that too much or too little?
No, I think it's fine.
I think it fits pretty fine for us.
Yeah, I'll be an observer of the list.
Oh, Joe? Hey, Joe, did you have anything?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, definitely the old gym is something that should be talked about right away, because I continue to get calls on it, and it seems to be more of an attraction as time goes on. And the land value, of course, is popping back up. And then networking, you know, as a district, we, Devin's talked about offering joint with the city, and I think I've shared this with Gordon, that when we built Silver Trail, we extended the conduit, or fiber, if you will, clear to Columbia. So it wouldn't be hard to bring on the sewer plant into our network, and of course City Hall. So just know that those options are available, and that we could do something there.
Yeah, I just really like the idea of City Hall being where the gym is. It's in the old part of town, and it's just, it just seems like a perfect fit.
I think the square footage that is, that Devin and I currently share with the tech team, you could move in and start business right away. And of course, Mayor has went through it, and the old shop and different things would be a chamber meeting area, and additional offices, and downstairs, and if you will, a little Generations Plaza like in downtown Meridian. So it's I think it's very inviting for both district and city.
Well, I kind of think from interest rate wise, and I think there's going to be some movement on it. We always did think that if things start turning around, the movement and the interest rates would go. And so we're interested in making our decision and which way we're going to go. So when I get back from the Association of Idaho Cities, which I got sick at last year and didn't get to attend much, so I'm not going to attend the whole 3 days. So maybe next week we can get together and like, talk a little bit about where we go, because the council had directed me to get those, and then we were going to look at the old building that we looked at Don Young's property, but St. Alice is going in there. So. Okay, well.
How about September 10th at 5:30 in our place for the next week?
September 10th. My gosh, is that 3 months from now?
Do we
want to
avoid that day just because the next day is a holiday, or no?
Pardon?
Would we want to avoid that day because the next day is a holiday, or do
what's
we not?
What's the next day?
Veterans Day? Or I'm sorry, no, it's it's showing up on my account. It's
okay. Yeah, way ahead of my then.
All right, then we'll start putting together an agenda. We have items. Probably did some of these again.
Yeah.
Updates on them.
But well, yeah. So. We're expecting a very busy summer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Chief, one thing before we leave, we talked about Powell, and have they made any movements to?
Tony's still running that.
Is he?
For the most part, but he's trying to get more volunteers in some of the higher positions. That's a little bit of a challenge, just having to stay on that. Tony's still running that.
So you know the district is still willing to talk and entertain some of those ideas.
Did that yesterday.